Good afternoon and welcome to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Equestrian Legacy comes to you each Thursday at noon Central Standard Time, and we provide programming that, regardless of the breed of horse that you own, I think you'll find interesting. Our focus is on the Tennessee Walking Horse, but again, I think regardless of the breed of horse that you own, you'll find our program will have something that will be of interest to everyone. I am really excited today to have a special guest with us, and that is Mr. Marty Luffman. Marty has been participating in cowboy-mounted shooting for quite a number of years, but Marty and I go back about 40-plus years when we went to school together at David Lipscomb College, now Lipscomb University. So, Marty, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you inviting me to be here today. When you said 40-plus years, that seems like such a long time, and it seems like yesterday in some ways.
Well, it really does, but, you know, we hadn't seen each other in a long time. We had connected through Facebook and through Tennessee Trail Riders a few years ago, but yeah. I actually hadn't seen you until the Southern Horse Bonanza a few months ago in Murfreesboro.
Well, that's true. That's the first time we had a face-to-face in quite some time.
It really was. So it was really good to see you. But I know we have listeners that are around the country and globally that will be listening in. I know they're going to be real excited to have you share information today about the cowboy-mounted shooting and how you got involved with it. So, Marty, let me just start out by asking, because when we were in school, I didn't know that you had an interest in horses. But when did you start with your horse interest, and tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the first time I remember riding a horse, I was probably about 18 months. And then it went from there. I'd sit on the plow mare or the plow mule, whichever one Granddaddy used, and hang on to the hames. And it just kept going and going and going, and it never got out of my blood. I was the only one in my family that had this particular, addiction, we'd call it. But I rode horses from the time I can remember being in diapers, have pictures of when we hauled logs to the lumber mill out of the woods. I was on a horse. And then, and you said in college you didn't know, but my grades in college weren't the best, and my dad wasn't going to give me a car while I was in school if I didn't get my grades up. Well, I never got my grades up, and he didn't really get me a car. He helped me a little bit, but it was not what he wanted to do. But as far as horses go, I don't know if you remember, one of our college mates was Gary Nims.
I do.
And, well, Gary had a little red sorrel mare named Penny. And so he needed to get rid of her. And I was really frustrated. I didn't have anything to do, you know, on weekends or anything. So I bought his mare for $125. And that included a sack of feed, a saddle, and a bridle, and a pad.
Oh, what
and
a
it
deal.
Was a quick, yeah, it was a quick sack right down the road over there from Lipscomb where we went to school. And they gave me a job so that I could come up with the $25 a month for my board. And they had a boarding stable on Harding Place at the corner of Granny White Pike and Harding Place. And I boarded the little mare there for $25 a month. And there was a riding trail that went from Granny White Pike to the Franklin Road over there where the big church is, the Presbyterian Church, and came out at Oak Hill Riding Academy. And I would go over there on weekends and ride up and down that trail between Granny White and Franklin. And back in the day, back when you and I were in school, Radnor Lake was open to the public. It had just recently been acquired, and there weren't a lot of restrictions, so I was able to ride my mare around Radnor Lake on the weekends quite a bit. So I'd get on her around 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, and I'd ride all day on Saturday, and then I'd call somebody and bum a ride back. Somebody give me a ride back to the dorm. I just couldn't give it up. And then when I graduated from college, I took her with me when I moved to Smyrna. And then I boarded her on right there in downtown Smyrna. There was no restrictions or anything on horses, you know, inside the city limits. So I had her right there at the house. And that was like 72 or 73. And then from there, you know, just went on and kept on trail riding. And then I got so involved in the trails that I worked with the, when they set up the Horse Council and the Department of Agriculture's Equine Division, I worked with a couple of people in the Department of Agriculture. I wrote their first trail guide for them for the state of Tennessee.
Oh, that's great.
I work with Kelly and a couple other people on the trail guide, getting that created. And then I started giving lectures at MTSU on trail riding and horses. And I don't know, it just escalated. And I kept getting more involved in trail riding and more involved in trail riding. And I started writing for Trail Rider magazines, submitting articles and stories to the Trail Rider magazine. And then from that, I think it was like 1988 or 89, the Department of Interior contacted me and said, would you help us build a trail on the Natchez Trace? And I thought maybe they just wanted a little bit of advice, but they wanted a weak mind and a strong back. For 3 years, I was out there cutting a trail on the Natchez Trace. I think I finished it up with a lot of volunteers. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't just me, but had tremendous amount of support, volunteers, and they came out there, and I think we started in 1989 cutting the first segment right there at Carter's Creek and ran down and got that open. Then we had our first New Year's Day trail ride in 1990 on the Natchez Trace.
Wow.
And so 3 years later, we had a 26-mile trail running from Leapers Fork or Garrison to down to the river, Duck River.
Well, you have stayed involved with the horses then, and I do remember seeing some articles in Trail Rider that you had done, and I've also enjoyed riding the Natchez Trace Trail. So thank you for helping create that. That's fantastic.
Oh yeah, yeah, well, it was a good feeling when that was over.
Listen, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the cowboy mounted shooting.
Okay, well, it was 2002, and I read an article in the newspaper about people that was going to do some mounting shooting demonstration. And I thought, now that sounds like fun, because I had trail ridden so much, I was almost at the point where I was burnt out. And so I went over to Mount Juliet, and I watched them do a demo, and I was hooked. I mean, from the moment I saw those guys out there with their guns, their hats and their horses and their cowboy boots, and I was hooked. And it started in March of 2002 at the Columbia Mule Day Parade and show. I went to my very first cowboy shoot, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was the most wonderful experience being out there with my gun, my horses, and the crowd yelling and not falling off. It was wonderful. Because when my horse, I was riding my buckskin quarter horse at the time, when those people started yelling and the gun's going off, he rodeoed. It was horrible.
Well, you know, that leads me to a question that I was going to ask you a little bit later, but let me go ahead and ask that now. How do you go about, Marty, conditioning and training a horse to do the cowboy mounted shooting, and how do you get yourself ready to do that when you're first getting started?
Well, when you're training your horse to do it, it takes a lot of patience, and there's terminology in the mounted shooting where you actually hold your gun when you're going to shoot. When you're training, you don't ever want to hold your pistol, say, at 1 o'clock beside the horse's head. You want to go from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock behind the horse. And keep them in a forward motion where they won't sidestep with you or try to back up with you. And the other thing is never, ever, under any circumstances, be abusive to your horse. If they associate getting slapped in the side of the head or slapped in the ear or spurred real heavy with the gun going off, they're going to have a negative feeling.
Right.
But each time you shoot, if you'll just give them a little rub or a pat or a scratch between the ears, it's like they think, well, this is a good thing. And a lot of the people I compete with, they will have a little treat for the horse. And as soon as their horse makes a very aggressive run and comes out the gate, the first thing that horse will do is turn his head all the way around to grab that treat out of the hand.
That's
so
kind of like
everything
me.
Everything we do in the shooting world is designed to have a positive impact on the horse.
Okay. Now, I've had people that have advertised horses for sale, and they would say that you can shoot off of the horse at least once.
don't buy into that, Gary.
Well, I think I know what they mean when they say you can shoot at least once. But when
I'm telling you is they've already shot off it once, you're not going to get the second shot.
But now when you start with your horse, are you starting on the ground? You wouldn't start on your back to begin with.
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
I did. I did. And I shot behind him. The whole time I was shooting,
gotcha.
I would walk. I would simply walk the horse, and I would rub his neck or rub his ears or rub his pole, and then I would shoot. And he might jump a little bit, but then pretty soon it's like, okay, I'm going to get rewarded every time he shoots that gun, and then they get kind of excited about it. Now, a lot of people will start off with a .22, and you can go down to Lowe's store, hardware store, and you can buy those little .22 blanks
right. That
you use in nail guns. You don't ever want to use live rounds in your pistol. I don't care, 45, 22, 38, whatever it is, you don't want to use a live round to train your horse.
Okay.
Under no circumstances. And then there's from the .22 that you get at Lowe's, from there you go to what they call half loads. And a lot of us people that was training our horses, our own horses, we made our own blanks. And you put about a half as much powder in there, then you put the wad on top of it. And it's not like really loud or anything like that. It's enough that the horse stays focused, but it doesn't scare them. Then after they get used to that, you'll put a half load, full load, half load, full load, and do that route.
Okay. All right.
But you know what will scare a horse more than anything, more than the guns or anything else, are those balloons.
Well, I was going to ask about a balloon popping, you know, if that would...
It's not the popping. The balloon popping is one thing. It's not that bad. But the when a horse gets to it and there's static electricity between the horse and the balloon...
Right.
They don't like that at all. They don't like anything that makes their hair stand on end.
Well, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you shoot the balloon, generally you're shooting behind yourself. So it's not that bad. Going beside the balloon, walking, and the balloon will pick up on them.
In the training process. Okay. Hey, Marty, we've got, of course, this is a call-in show today, and we invite people to call in with their questions at 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396, and we're talking with Marty Luffman about cowboy mounted shooting. And Marty, we're going to take a phone call. We've got someone that's been on here for about 10 minutes waiting to say hi or ask a question.
Let's get him out.
So let's answer that phone call. Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Karen Bolton. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to hear from you. How are you?
Well, Karen.
Oh my gosh, this girl is wonderful. We got to keep her on the phone for a while.
All right. Well, she can just join in the conversation. Hey, Karen, thanks for calling in and being patient about holding. Where are you from?
I'm from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach. They've got a big event coming up, don't they? A little bit later this year at Myrtle Beach.
Yep. Yep, that's where I met Marty.
All right, great.
Yeah, she's a equine vet, and I can handle a lot of stuff, Gary, but I had to leave her and my horse because I couldn't bear to watch her fixing his feet, and they were in horrible shape. And when I got him back, that guy was a happy camper, man.
Oh, good, good.
That's great. Well, now, Karen, are you involved in this the fundraising for the American Heart Association?
We've worked the beach ride every year. I've been doing it for about 3 years now, and it's usually me and another vet, and one of us is there on the campground all the time, and if there's any medical issues, we obviously attend to them. And I offered dentistry last year, just thinking maybe that might work for people, and that's how I met Marty.
Well, that's great. Now, are you involved in the Cowboy Mounted Shooting?
No, I really didn't know that much about it before I met him. I saw this crazy guy riding around in this cowboy outfit, and it turned out this crazy guy was camped across from us. and there was a reason why he was wearing that outfit.
Okay. All right. Well,
but,
that's great.
I know. It sounds pretty cool, though.
Well, that's something that I guess if you saw enough of that, you'd probably want to try it. And talked about the crazy outfits. And, again, there are questions that I was going to ask Marty a little bit later as we got through the conversation, but part of the fun of the Cowboy Mounted Shooting, I guess, is not only meeting people like Karen, but also the costuming that you
now,
have.
Karen, tell them they did have a costume parade at Myrtle Beach, and I didn't look so unusual and crazy when they had those other people riding in the parade.
That's true. We were dressed up as skeletons and our scrubs and stuff, riding our horses. So, yeah, he didn't stand out too much then.
Oh, gosh.
Her horse even had a costume on. Her horse looked like a skeleton riding down the beach.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well,
that Heart Association ride is fantastic. There's a link on my Facebook page, and I think there's a link on your page, Karen, about the Heart Association coming up. It's y'all need to register if you're listening and you're going to go to it. They've already assigned about 600 sites already.
Jeez, yeah.
And you've got till the end of June to sign up for the Heart Ride.
Well, that's great. Now, Karen, let me ask you about this. And I just found out about this a few months ago, and it sounds like a tremendous event, but how many folks will they have that are there, and can you tell us a little bit about how much money is raised for the Heart Association?
I'm not sure how much money they raised last year, but I want to say last year there was about 1,500 horses there. That's the number I heard, at least, for last year. I mean, it's a really big deal, and I know that we've had clients that we've worked on there from all over the country, from Canada. I mean, people actually drive down from Canada. But it's a lot of fun, and obviously all the money goes to a very good cause.
Right.
But I'd encourage anyone to come and participate, and you know, it's even if you come and even sell stuff there. I mean, anything helps the organization, and for us, it's a really hard work week. You know, it's that week that I dread coming up every year. You know, hanging out on the beach, it's rough.
I'm sure it is with all those.
But they feed us good too on the trail on the beach ride.
Right.
They've got like 4 or 5 locations where you're riding up down the beach where they're serving pizza and soft drinks.
Oh, that's great.
And that's all free.
That is great.
Yeah.
Well, I think I saw numbers that said 11 to 1,500 riders that actually come there and camp. But the thing that impressed me so much was the fact that I believe the goal this year is to raise something like $225,000 for the Heart Association.
Wow.
And I know that people form teams or do it individually, and they're working on raising this money throughout the year. And I believe on the website there for the ride, they actually keep a running total of what the different teams have accumulated so far. So I guess there's some kind of recognition for the team or individuals that are able to raise the most money for that. So that's a great thing.
I think also you can be entered into win a horse trailer too, which that never hurts.
No, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in. You can stay on the line if you'd like to and join in the conversation. Someone was on for quite a bit and they've just dropped off, so let me encourage you to call back and we'll try to take those calls as we can. But Marty, let me go ahead and ask a little bit more about the Cowboy Mounted Shooting.
Well, let me thank Karen real quick. Thank you for calling in, Karen.
Oh, it's not a problem. It's good to hear from you again.
Yeah, and Karen, And Karen, you're welcome to stay on the line if you'd like to and join in or do whatever you need to do. But again, we invite people to call in and join the conversation that we're going to have with folks, and the more the merrier. So it's just a good time on there. But Marty, let me go back and ask. We were talking about the training for the horses and how they become accustomed to the gunfire, and then you were talking about the balloons and the static that goes into that. How long does it take to actually train a horse before they're at a competitive level? And are there different levels in cowboy mounted shooting for people to participate?
There are. You start out as a level one, and it's a gender event. You have the men and the women level one. Then you have the level twos, threes, fours, fives, and six. I shoot as a level four. But it's as far as it goes, as far as the people involved and everything, you do everything on a progressive where you win, progressive move ups. And if you're a level one shooter, you have to have three wins. And then to be a level two, you have to have four wins. And three, you have to have five wins. And it takes some time to get there, and it takes a lot of experience to get there. And training a horse, some of them will pick it up in 60 days. I know my walking horse, he picked it up in like 30, 45 days. He didn't have any trouble at all with it. My quarter horse, I'm still working with him. He still slings his head. He's got a real bad habit of that.
Uh-huh.
But some horses take 6 months. Some horses never take to it. And some horses just thoroughly enjoy it. I know my walking horse, Doc Holliday, he feeds off of it. He loves it. We'll walk into that arena, and it'll be a slow, laid-back walk, and I can cue him. He and I have been done it so much, Gary, that he can feel me starting to tighten up, and, boy, he comes alive, man. I mean, there's not many walking horses you see that can go into an arena, run a pattern, shoot 10 balloons, that's 10 shots, round a barrel, and come home in 15 seconds or less.
Wow.
And he can do that. He can do it. He runs anywhere from 15 to 20 seconds on a pattern.
Well, that's great. Now, I was just going to ask, how competitive is that with some of the other breeds that are competing?
Oh, man, one of the greatest privileges and pleasures I have is going to Oklahoma and Texas and putting a whipping on some of those quarter horses out there. I got most of my wins in out west, Mexico and Oklahoma. I got some good wins in Oklahoma, and we had a shoot. I don't know if you heard of Alamo Village or not. That's the movie studio that John Wayne built for the movie The Alamo. Excuse me. And the people that owned it were friends of mine. So we did some trail ride down there in Alamo Village in Brackettville, Texas. And I asked him, I said, what's the possibility of us having a cowboy shoot here at the Alamo Village where John Wayne was? And you know, they did Lonesome Dove and Alamo Village and several other, you know, really good movies. And they said, bring it on, Marty. Said we'd love to have y'all come here. And so we had several good shoots down in Texas at the Alamo Village. And I got two of my wins down there shooting against big quarter horses.
Well,
that little Doc Holliday, he's 14-2, somewhere between 14-2 and 14-3. But I'm going to tell you right now, he can scramble, man. He'll get down there and dig. Whoa, he can flat fly.
Oh, God. Well, I've watched several of the videos and actually saw your an exhibition at the Southern Horse Bonanza. So it's a pretty exciting event. How is it that you came about to use Doc Holliday, a walking horse, in the cowboy mounted shooting?
Well, I was riding my buckskin quarter horse, and he's powerful. He's like 15-3 and probably weighs about 1,100 pounds. And he was very powerful, but he kept throwing his head. And he just wasn't taking into it. So I thought, well, maybe I need to, you know, just buy me a horse that's already seasoned and work off of him. And then I was out in the field one day, and Doc was on the other side of the fence watching. You know, I had a big arena. My arena was 235 feet by 125, and Doc was standing beside the arena, no halter, no bridle, no nothing. He was just standing there watching. Guns didn't bother him or anything. Well, I thought, well, I'll just try the little man out and see how he does. We got out there. He did not like the balloons at all. Did not like them. The gunshot, it was like a little leery, but it didn't bother him that bad. So what I did was whenever I went to a mounted shoot, I would be the one setting the balloons. I'd go out there on him, and we'd set balloons. After somebody ran the stage and we had to replace them, I used him. And we got out there, and pretty soon it wasn't an issue at all with the balloons. And then I guess, you know, I'm 10 years down the road, and I have hauled Doc Holliday across America. We will hit 350,000 hauling miles this fall.
Goodness, goodness.
Yeah, so 350,000 hauling.
So now he's been competing now for about a decade?
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He just turned 14, June the 1st.
Well,
and
go ahead.
I was just going to say he started when he was just barely over three.
Okay. All right. Well, now, a few weeks ago, I had Tracy Pinson on the program, and she does the Extreme Cowboy racing and competition. And we were talking about with Tracy if there was a particular disposition or confirmation that was important in selecting a horse for that. And she was sharing, and you know, is there an age that's best to start a horse? Because you're going full speed on these guys. So let me ask you the same question. Is there a particular type of disposition or a certain age where it's better to start a horse in this type of competition?
Well, I know a lot of people have started their horses at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old.
Okay.
And then there's a lot more that started them, you know, when they were 3 and 4.
Okay. All right.
I've got a little spotted saddle horse down in Texas right now being trained. She'll be shooting when she's 3 years old next year.
Well, that's good.
Gated horse.
That's good. Hey, we've got another caller on the line, and I hate to have people holding, so let's see who we have here. Good afternoon, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Karen Page calling with the Cowboy Sports Association.
Hi, Karen. Got two Karens. How you doing?
Good. Well, I was thrilled to hear you on here. Marty was our first lifetime member of the Cowboy Sports Association. We're one of the mounted shooting associations out there, and he came on board as my first lifetime member. So,
I was proud of that.
She put my picture on the newsletter and everything. It was great.
Well, it's funny because the first picture I chose, I showed Marty, and I said, you know, I'm going to put this up because, of course, I like to pass things by people before I put them out there to everybody. And he says, oh, no. He said, no, let me get you a better one. So sure enough, he sent me another picture to use. He was funny with that.
Oh, gosh. Well, Marty is pretty photogenic, and so is Doc Holliday. So I've seen several of the different photos. Well, Karen, tell me a little bit about the Cowboy Sports Association. Where's your headquarters, and where do you compete?
Well, I am up here in New Hampshire, actually. This is where I work out of my house, but
okay.
I have affiliates all through the country, so we get people set up with their own clubs so that they can go ahead and hold mounted shooting events locally. And our big, I guess, benefit is that we're pretty cost-effective, not real expensive to get involved, not real expensive to get going. So we've really brought on a lot of new affiliates and a lot of new members to the sport, because if they just want to give it a try, they're not sure, they want to ease into it, they're not having to break the bank to get involved and give it a try. And then also, it's a little bit easier for clubs to get started, a little bit more cost efficient. So we're seeing more and more clubs popping up across the country. And that way you're not having to travel as far to some of these larger shoots and spend all the money. You can stay local, shoot, have fun, and and that's pretty much what it's all about. So.
Well, now, are
let me ask a question real quick, Gary, if I could.
Okay.
Don't you have an affiliate in North Carolina? I think I read that is having a shoot coming up where people in North Carolina could go watch. And are they the ones that are doing your schooling, your demonstrations and stuff?
Sure, yep. We have actually next week is our Eastern Championship, and that's going to be held at the Double J Arena in Pendleton, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Lee and Sam Helms of the Hired Guns are actually producing the event. I'm flying down for it, and we'll be there to help out and, you know, manage things, meet people, and that type of thing. But, yes, it's going to be very, very exciting. We're thrilled. It's the 15th and the 16th, like I said, at the Double J Arena in Pendleton, South Carolina. And spectators are welcome.
Pendleton, what is that close to?
That's close to Spartanburg. I'm flying into North Carolina, and I'm going to stay at the Helms farm for a couple of days to help them get things set up, and then we'll be driving basically from the Charlotte area over to Pendleton. So it's not real far, and it's a great facility. They have an indoor arena, so if the weather's bad, we're all set, although we're hoping for some good weather. But it should be a great time. We love spectators. And some of the top riders in the country are going to be at this event. So it's a wonderful opportunity for anyone that's interested and lives in the area to swing on by and take a peek. There will be vendors there, so you can do a little bit of shopping also while you're there and get a good feel for the sport. So it should be a wonderful event. We're thrilled. Colt Firearms and AJ Horse is sponsored the event. We'll be giving away a Colt firearm, Carolina Choice Feeds, Equine Wellness, Gift Silversmith. So we've got some real good sponsors and awards to give out. Should be a nice event. Should be a good event.
You have a website, Karen. How do people access that website?
Well, we're at cowboysportsassociation.com. You could also find us through cowboymountedshooters.com. And all of our information is right up there to contact us. I always have my phone available and on me so people can call anytime with questions. Membership's only $25, so it's real easy to get involved and to start an affiliate, which includes insurance coverage, is only $100. So we're really bringing on a lot of people that maybe want to, like I said, get started in it nice and easy, or just want to shoot for fun. They don't really want to get into the big competitions, and that's fine. Or people that do like to go to the large competitions but want to stay local to practice and shoot, so when they go to the larger competitions, they're up to speed with where they need to be and can really compete well at a good level without having to do all the traveling and spend all the money to get to all the other competitions around. You can basically, you know, shoot locally, get something going right there and pull some people in. So it's just been really going well, and we're getting a lot of interest, a lot of people involved.
Well, that's exciting, Karen. Now, are there any clubs in Tennessee?
I do not have any clubs in Tennessee. I've got Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, pretty much all around Tennessee.
Okay.
But nothing right there. Would love to get something started.
Karen, if you...
Well, I know there's talk about Tennessee, because I've done it to Alabama with the boys that started the Alabama club a few weeks ago. And I know that there's somebody talking about starting one in Tennessee. I've already heard the talk. And there is a Facebook page for the Tennessee people, but I can't think of who they are. If somebody wants to email me or get on my Facebook page, I'll try to help you with that.
I started to say, Karen, if you'd post your contact information and some information in your website to equestrianlegacy.net. EquestrianLegacy.net. That's our website, and we'd be happy to put a link on there for you so that people could contact you and follow up on that. So we're also, and Marty, you and I have talked a little bit about this, but with the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association and our versatility program, we've now included cowboy mounted shooting as part of the versatility program. And so it's in the very, very early stages, but we're very interested in getting people involved. So we have more Doc Holidays that are out there participating in cowboy mounted shooting. So
that'd be wonderful.
That would be great.
Yeah, you know, one other program that we offer, and this is free for all of our members, is we have a shooting horse certification program. So all of our members have access to log the points for their horses, and the horses will get certificates and plaques once they reach certain levels of points and actually become a certified shooting horse and a Supreme Master shooting horse and all of that. So it gives a little bit more back to the horse because points normally follow the rider. And
okay.
That's great, but 70% of this sport, and I think Marty will agree, is the horse, if not more than that. And so, but they really don't get the recognition. We get all the recognition, you see. So we started this program, and it's really gone well. You just fill out a log sheet, send it in, and you get some beautiful certificates and plaques and recognition for your horse. So, you know, that's something else. You know, you talk about the Tennessee Walking Horse, and, you know, quarter horses and paints are real good in this sport, but we've got Arabians. I mean, we've got everything out there. And so this is for every breed. Any breed is certainly eligible for the shooting horse certification program, too.
Well, that's great. That's terrific information to have. And I'm sure that we'd have people that would be very interested in following up on that as well.
Great.
On that. So, again, if you had go to EquestrianLegacy.net and provide that information for me on in the comment section. We'll certainly put a link with all of that information on there. And,
yeah, I'll do that.
That's great. Marty, let me, and Karen, you're welcome to stay on the phone and join in this conversation as well. Marty, let me go ahead and kind of follow up on some things that we were talking about, and we had talked a little bit about the training that goes into the horse. What about the riders? How much practice do you have to do so you can hit those balloons?
A lot of it's dumb luck, and you get better. Yeah. A lot of it is patience. When you're out there, we have a lot of people who, when they first start, they shoot the gun too fast, way too fast.
Okay.
Gary, we've got another person that's wanting to call in. I just got a text message. Can we take this next call?
Sure.
When they come in, just interrupt me while I'm talking.
Sure will.
Because they're calling. They tried to call a couple of three times. But it takes a lot of patience, and then after a while it becomes a reflective where you don't even think about what you're doing. You just react.
Okay. Now, and we're talking about your training, let me ask you a little bit about the equipment. What type of guns do you use, and what's involved in that? And talk a little bit about what you
need. Well, I love guns, and I have Rugers primarily that I use. I've got three sets of Rugers that I'm partial to.
Okay, we've got another caller here, so I'm gonna interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead,
just like you said. Hi, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, my name is Ann Peel with Mounted Shooters of America.
Well, hey, Ann, how are you?
Good, doing good. Hi, Marty.
Hey, Ann, thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, now tell me about your organization.
Mounted Shooters of America is international. We've got clubs across the United States as well as in Canada promoting the sport of mounted shooting using single-action revolvers as well as lever-action rifle. And the association was formed in 2001. My husband and I, Rick, acquired it about a year ago and have been marketing and promoting and growing the sport and we've had tremendous results over the past year.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, you mentioned that you're in America and Canada. And we
Correct.
Have a lot. We have a lot of listeners that are in Canada, as well as European listeners. And we'll talk about that too in just a little bit, Marty, because I know you've done some clinics over in Germany and some other places. But Anne, how do you get involved with your organization, and what are you doing out of the country?
To get involved with our organization, the best place to go to get information is via our website, which is newmsa.com, where there's information about clubs across the country as well as in Canada, how to become a member, benefits of starting up a club, and incentives that we're offering to new clubs that come on board with our association. And we're doing added money to get the clubs up and going. We're also providing new shooter clinics because we realize the importance of education as the sport is growing so that people know what is required both of themselves as a rider as well as their horse and all the equipment that they'll need for the sport as well.
Okay. And, of course, we've got Karen on the phone, too, and I know there are a couple of different associations in the mounted shooting sport. Does each association have their own championship, or is there like a big major event that's the world championship of all of this? Or and I'll let you answer that.
Sure. Every association has their own events that they promote and produce. For Mounted Shooters of America, we partner with Colt Firearms. And we offer this year a Colt Championship Series. It's four events ending with the finals. Three of those events have already been completed, the last one most recently this past weekend in St. Paul, Minnesota at the fairgrounds. And the series in total has $125,000 added money plus the 50% payback of entry fees. So there's significant opportunities for people to go home with some money in their pocket. And then there's one event left, which is our finals, which will be held in Scottsdale, Arizona at Westworld, September 18th through the 21st.
Wow.
And, yeah, and my competitors to qualify is as simple as attending three MSA events that are most convenient for them. One of those would need to be a state or a regional. And beyond that, they are welcome to compete, and the finals has $50,000 added money plus payback and prizes. So really providing some significant incentive to encourage people to be a part of what we're doing in the world of mounted shooting.
Well, that's exciting. You know, in the walking horse world and people that show walking horses, there's not much money in that. We spend a lot of money, but there's not much as far as monetary rewards for showing. So,
sure.
I think people would be excited to know that they can compete with their walking horses and actually have some potential for some nice paybacks on those things as well.
Absolutely.
So,
and our friends north of the border, you mentioned briefly about Canada, there's going to be a big competition up in Pinoca at the Pinoca Stampede where they're doing $25,000 at it as well the last week of June. So just coming up at the end of this month. So our club up there in Alberta is producing that event. So there's been a lot of excitement happening all over.
Well, that is exciting. And, of course, we'll be sharing that information, I hope, with our listeners from Canada that are on the line or will listen to our podcast. And, by the way, I'll mention this to the three of you as well as our listeners. All of our shows that are live are available about 1 hour after the show is over with live on podcasts, so people can go back and listen to the shows and reinforce information that they may have heard and re-listen to the show or invite their friends to listen as well. And it's available both on computer, smartphone, and on your tablet. So a lot of different ways for people to join in on the shows. Marty, let me go back and ask you this question. And we were talking about the equipment, the type of guns that you're using. What kind of cost are we looking at as far as getting involved in the sport?
Well, I think you can spend, based on the gun you buy, you can get one, you can get a used one. You need two, of course, but you can get a used one for about $250, $300, depending on the brand. And then you move on up to $500, $600, $700, and then you can, you know, get way on up there, not way on up there, but reasonably on up there with your Colts. So it depends on what you want to shoot. Now, I shoot Rugers, but I have a pair of John Wayne commemorative pistols that I use, and they were like $1,100, $1,200 a piece, plus I had to have a mechanic pick them out. And then I have some other pistols that I like. They're also Rugers, and they were $975 a piece. They were commemorative pistols also. And then I have some basic Rugers that I got. They're called the Vaqueros, the new Vaqueros, and they were $500 or $550 a piece. So a lot of it just depends on what you want to do. I've got a beautiful set of Colt pistols I love with consecutive serial numbers, and I just absolutely adore them. I mean, you're talking about sweet shooting, boy. Came straight from the factory. You didn't even have to warm them or anything. They were great. I like Calvary competition, and I have a pair of Taylors, what they call the New Army. Then I have a pair of the Remingtons. I remember if you saw the movie Josie Wales, I have those pistols. You know, when he crossed his arms.
I've watched that movie more times than I can count.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I've got those. So it just depends on what I'm doing. If I'm shooting as a Canadian, I use my Taylors. And if I'm shooting cavalry, you know, the regular cavalry, you know, I dress as a Yankee, as they call them. And and then I have Remingtons for that. And then, I don't know, I just like a variety of pistols. I like, enjoy a lot of guns. Can I tell you a little trivia real quick?
Yeah,
when I
go
said
ahead.
Yankee. Okay,
go
this
ahead.
Little trivia. The word Yankee, you know, we got your rednecks and you got your Yankees, but the word Yankee was a Yankee, Yankee, was a very bad criminal from up north. And so when they started calling us boys down here rednecks and everything else, well, we started calling them Yankees, which was like, you're nothing but a common criminal.
Oh,
after
okay.
The guy who was the Jesse James of up north.
Oh gosh, that's funny. That is funny. Well, there are a few of us that are good old redneck boys, I guess, down here in the South. you know, you were talking, Marty, about the different guns that you use to shoot, and you were talking about the different costumes. Is there a particular dress for the cowboy-mounted shooting, or do you have different events where people are in costume? You were talking about the cavalry and the different things. Is that just something that's personal choice?
Hey, Ann, why don't you address that, since you're one of the flashiest dressers we have in shooting?
Why, thank you, Marty.
She is a trend-setting, style-setting woman.
All right.
Well, we want to make it all the showmanship as well, and a lot of that has to do with how people dress. Even as part of our organization at our championship series, we offer what we call a Dapper Award, or basically a Best Dressed Award. And it's a cash award of $250 that is awarded to both male and female for Old West as well as Modern Rodeo. But you can see anyone from what you're currently used to seeing at the rodeos with chinks and a button-down shirt and a cowboy hat to celebrating the Old Style West, which Marty does a great job of as well.
Right.
But also, you know, I oftentimes will wear a corset with a large skirt that drapes all the way around the back of my horse. You know, we celebrate the Old West as well as what people want to wear as part of the modern-day rodeo and as part of our competition.
Well, that sounds like that's a big part of the fun is the costuming. Last week we had on the show a couple of guests from Germany, and we were talking about the Tennessee Walking Horse over there and how that popularity is growing and what they're involved in, and some of the different breeds. And they said everybody in Germany wants to be a cowboy, and so you know, we thought, well, there's some different venues to get folks involved outside of the show ring, and that would be with the cowboy mounted shooting or the extreme cowboy racing that's going on. So all of that has to do with the costuming.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, Gary and Karen, let me tell you this real quick. In Sweden, well, I was over there competing last year in Sweden, they have a 5-acre cowboy compound inside of a fort with a old train, old tracks that circles the compound.
Wow.
That's in Sweden.
Well, I was reading in one of my favorite magazines, Cowboys and Indians. I don't know if you all get that or not, but one of the best authentic Western wear shops in the world is located in Germany. And so they carry almost everything Old West and cowboy in one of the shops there. So it's a lot of fun. We're running down to just about 15 minutes or so left. There are a couple of things that I wanted to ask, and Marty or Ann or Karen, either one can answer this question, or all three of you. How can you get involved in cowboy mounted shooting if you've never been involved before? And one question that I hadn't asked is, what are the ages of people that are competing in cowboy mounted shooting? So,
probably the best way to get involved is to look on the internet or call one of the associations and find out where your local club or affiliate is.
Okay.
And usually they'll have clinics that you can attend, or just go watch a practice, watch a shoot, get some tips from the riders. Mounted shooters love sharing advice and helping out. They love to get people involved, very friendly people, very approachable people. So, you know, gather some information.
Hey, motherfuckers! Piece of the shit!
I'm sorry, that was somebody that had been on the line trying to hold, and I thought I would see if we could...
okay.
But they were just hung up on, so...
Okay.
You got to quit doing that, Gary. When they call, answer the phone.
Well,
I didn't know what was going on.
They had called about three times, so I thought, well, let's let them on. But we just
let them in.
We just disconnected them, so...
Okay. So, you know, find out who's local. You know, there are different mounted shooting associations, but the sport's the same. And we all have our specialties, and we all have, you know, little differences. But I think that most of us, you know, work together well. I always tell, you know, people, get involved, just shoot. Don't worry about who it's with or what it's for. Go have fun. And so, you know, find your local club, get involved, go to a clinic, do it the right way, which is take your time. Don't jump on and just go gangbusters shooting it up, because you may not get your horse back in that arena again.
Gotcha.
And do it the right way. With age, you know, they'll start young. We've got riders 6 years old. At that age, obviously they're not shooting the live rounds. They're using cap guns, but, you know, and it'll vary a little bit with the associations. With the CSA, we don't base our levels on age. It's based on experience. So we have some older people getting into the sport that can be in our apprentice level, where they can ride the course and dry fire and then shoot from the ground. Age doesn't matter. So if you're getting in older, if you're younger, you can do that. And then we have some younger kids, and by younger I'll say, you know, 9, 10 years old, that are ready to ride and shoot because they've been doing it, you know, at their house, and they're ready to compete. And so we allow them to go ahead and do that. So with us, it goes by experience and where you're at versus an age limit, I guess.
Gotcha. Well, Ann, I know that in the walking horse breed, and I think this is true in most breeds of horses where we're looking at people getting involved, the lifeblood of any activity that's equine-related is getting young people involved so that they're there for years to come. And do you have a lot of young folks that are participating in your association?
Absolutely. And Karen was right on with what she had to say as well. It's very much a family sport. If people are new to it, everybody's always extremely helpful. I know for myself, I learned to ride and learn this sport on somebody else's horse. So there's many avenues you can take. You know, you can lease a horse, you can borrow equipment, you know, so that way you feel comfortable with moving forward within the sport itself. So there's definitely opportunities, and Karen spoke to that as well. We try to get as many clinics made available as possible to people, and also having trainers in different areas of the country be available to provide expertise to people as well. But I think as a general rule, when you go to the competitions, regardless of the association, if you are in need of help with anything from your tack to your horse to the doing the mounted shooting itself, everybody's very approachable and more than willing to help out.
Well, that's great. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm saying with regards to the age, there really is no age limitation. You know, we have people as young as 5. They're not, like Karen mentioned, they're not actually shooting the guns, but they'll have toy pistols where we encourage good horsemanship, as well as pointing the gun at the targets, you know, so they get the technique down. And we've had people, we also had people just in our last competition in Minnesota in their 80s competing at the sport. So it's really something you can do throughout your life.
Oh, that's great.
Spectacular.
That is great. Well, that's what we want, is to be able to get people involved in the equine sports at a young age, get away from the computer games and get outside and enjoy your horses and the fresh air and the camaraderie and the good family relationships that people can develop by getting involved in whatever equine sport it is that's available to them.
Gary, let me share something too.
Yeah,
real quick. Can I interject
yeah.
here? Talking about the young people, but we've got some people that's in their late 80s that are competing with us. Late 80s. We got one lady down in Georgia. They call her Granny Oakley. she is 88 years old.
Well, it's never too late to start, is it? Never too young to start,
no.
But never too late to get started. So that is a good thing.
We got Mr. Ivy here in Tennessee, and I think he's 79 or 80.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Ann, I wanted to mention something to you, and I had mentioned it to Karen already. If you would put your contact information on our website, equestrianlegacy.net.
Absolutely.
In the comment information, then we'll put a link to both associations on there so people will know how they can get in touch with you and get involved in this sport. And I guess like Marty, you associate in multiple associations, so the big thing is to get out and shoot and have a good time.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, listen, I appreciate both of you ladies joining our phone call. I've got a few things that I'm going to talk with Marty about, and as we're wrapping up the show for today, thank you so much, both Karen and Ann, for calling in and participating in the program today. And,
thanks for having us.
Well, I appreciate so much you doing that, and I look forward to at least walking a course and seeing if I can shoot one of those guns that Marty might loan me. So, anyway,
thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you very much. And you ladies have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Appreciate it.
Right, bye-bye. All right, Mr. Marty, I appreciated those callers, except for the very last one that called, and we had to hang up on them. And also appreciate Karen Bolton for calling in earlier and talking with us as well. So that Myrtle Beach event looks like something that should be a lot of fun and for a worthwhile cause that people could get involved in. So that's a good
thing. I've got a link on my Facebook page if anybody wants to get it, you know, off of my page.
Okay.
But I was going to tell you too, Gary, what we just had, when we were talking to Karen and we were talking to Ann, we have the Alpha and the Omega of shooting. We have where people can get in at a very low cost to see if they're going to like it. And then we have, on the other end, we have a very aggressive bunch of shooters who can shoot for really, really a lot of money. So these two ladies are offering anybody that wants to try out shooting, any option they want to have, it's available by contacting either one of them. And I was going to tell you, too, that you can contact me, anyone can contact me, and I'll put you in contact with either one of them.
Okay, that's
great.
But
if they put their web pages on your site, though, that'd be the best place to go.
Yeah, well, we'll sure put that information on there for people to get in touch with them. Let me ask you about a couple of things here in the last few minutes, Marty.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where's the next closest cowboy mounted shooting event that you'll be participating in?
That I will. I'm going to run down to Georgia this weekend, Unadilla, Georgia. We have an old man's class, and a lot of my buddies come in from different states, and we got about 8 or 10 old men that just love to get together, tell lies to each other, harass each other. We got Alabama coming in, and we got Georgia coming in, I think South Carolina, and I know some people from Florida are coming up. So I just really enjoy the old people that I deal with, and we follow each other around different states.
Oh,
we always know where we're going to be.
Well, that's a good thing. Now, and where is this in Georgia?
Unadilla, Georgia, right there on the Florida line.
Okay, all right. And what dates are those?
It'll be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, all right. So if people were interested in the Florida-Alabama area to get out and see some cowboy-mounted shooting, then they could take advantage of stopping by and seeing that this weekend.
Yeah, well, see, actually, it's going to be a good 2 weeks because the shoot I'm going to this weekend is Ann's, and then the next weekend will be Karen's in Pendleton, South Carolina. So you can see the best, you can see, you know, whatever you want to do is available.
Okay. And
real close to us.
All right. So when Karen and Ann post their information on our website, then people will be able to go to their contact information and find out where these shows are located and get more information on what may be coming up around them. So that's a great thing. Now I would be remiss not to ask this question.
Well, I don't want you remiss.
So tell me about the Dave and Marty show and the Faller Offer.
Okay. Dave and I have been traveling together for many, many years. Okay. He and I have been all over America and Canada together. And then one day we had a good friend go down on their horse. And so Dave does a lot of videoing at the shoots. And so we took his video. We did a commentary, mocking him, ridiculing him, laughing at him, trashing him, just whatever nasty thing we could think of to say about how he was, you know, he was just incompetent. You know, we went on and on and on for a good 2 or 3 minutes. And then the next thing I know, we've got other people, when they fall off, they'll say, hey, can you do a follower offer on me too? So right now we've got about 200 follower offers out there on the internet somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I just had to mention that because I actually took a look at one of those this morning before we did the show, and they're just hilarious. And you guys are totally irreverent when you're talking about the folks that are riding, but you don't just pick on people because I know you get picked on pretty well. On there, so a lot of fun. Hey, listen, Marty, it's been great to have you on the show today, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Looking forward to you doing some clinics with some of our walking horse folks here soon. So
I understand we got one in the works, going to be scheduled here pretty quick.
Well, I'll be following up with some of those folks to pursue that and make sure we can get that done. So anyway, thank you so much. And you know what? I'd love to have you back on the show another time.
You just say when, cowboy. I'll be there.
All right, Marty. Thanks so much. And
yes,
again, appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, this was a fun show today, and I hope that that you've enjoyed the conversation that we've had. There are a couple of things that I wanted to mention before we go off the air for this. The Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association has a Breeders Incentive Program, and that ends on July 1st. If you are a breeder of foals and have some colts that need to be registered, there's some significant discounts available for you right now. That ends on July 1st. But also, if you have horses that have not been registered or transferred, you're able to do that from now to July 1st without any late fees or penalties. So let me encourage you to take advantage of that. It's a great opportunity to get horses registered or transferred that you haven't been able to do in the past. There are a couple of things that we wanted to mention. The Walking Horse family is a great family, and right now there are some efforts being made to help a family, the Bobo family in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Connie is going through some serious medical issues. You can go to equestrianlegacy.net and find out how you might be able to contribute to help that family. And there's also a tremendous auction for a stud fee right now for a beautiful blue roan horse, Indigo Blue. And Holly Schroeder has offered that stud fee up, and there's an auction that's online, and there's information on our website to tell you how you might participate in the bidding on that. Also, and this is a show that we want to do sometime soon, I think, and there is a Walking Horse Racing and Event Commission. And so there are Walking Horse races that are going on right now at the beautiful Milky Way Farm in Pulaski, Tennessee. And that's a beautiful facility if you've never seen it in Pulaski, Tennessee. But they have on Saturday, June the 29th, three championship races and 25 country boy classes. So they'll have a horse show as well as the horse racing on June the 29th. And this is a charity event to benefit Jeremy Williams. This is a young man that had a serious injury during a horse show several weeks ago. And so the Walking Horse family is reaching out to try to help defray some of the medical expenses for Jeremy. And it's a great great time to get out and have some fun on Saturday, June the 29th, at the Milky Way Farm in Pulaski, Tennessee, with the benefit to Jeremy Williams. Walking horse races, as well as a country boy horse show. So try to take advantage of that. And then in July, at the end of July, at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders Association is putting on their World Versatility Show, and that runs from July the 25th through the 27th, and that will be a lot of fun. You'll get to see walking horses in a lot of different disciplines, everything from barrel racing to pole bending to reining to jumping to carriage driving, model classes, as well as some rail classes. So a lot of fun. Put that on your calendar and make sure that you try to get over to the World Versatility Show at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, and that's July 25th and 27th. And then on the following day, the babies are highlighted when the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association produces their Breeders Futurity. And you'll see the weanlings to three-year-olds, both under halter and under saddle. Some added classes this year that will be real exciting. I think things that we haven't seen in years. One thing I'm looking forward to is the Get a Sire class. And so we'll have breeding stallions with their offspring that will be exhibited and judged at the Breeders' Futurity on the 28th of July. And that pretty much wraps things up for today. Our guest next week is Keith Keebler. And Keith is very active with AERC and in the endurance riding. And so Keith is going to come on the show and tell us about conditioning for the horse and rider, how you can get involved in the exciting sport of endurance riding. And that will be next Thursday on June the 13th at noon Central Standard Time. So thanks for listening today. Join us again next week for Equestrian Legacy Radio. And if you climb in the saddle, Get ready for the ride.